This one is all about how everything that's enjoyable is bad for your health.
Hi, I'm Nick Gillespie with Reason TV, and today we're talking with Joe Jackson, the musician and the anti-smoking ban activist. Joe, thanks for talking to us.
All right.
You obviously feel really strongly about anti-smoking laws. What possessed you to write a few years ago such a meticulously annotated and thought through manifesto against smoking bans?
I think it shows that governments are blurring the line between what's a public space and a private space. Mm-hmm. You know, they very often talk about we're banning smoking in public places, but it seems to me that a public place is something that's supported by public money. Mm-hmm. You know, a public library or a law court or police station or something, those are public mm-hmm. places. A bar is clearly not a public place. It's private property. It's a private business.
Mm-hmm. Is it right for the government to say, you know what, smoking is bad for you, so you should not be allowed to do it? Or should that be an individual choice?
The obvious sort of elephant in the room there is the fact that smoking is actually legal.
Right.
Tobacco is legal. Basically, a smoking ban in bars, for instance, yeah. is saying that adult citizens are not allowed to use a legal substance, even though they're very highly taxed for doing so, in a place which is actually private property.
Right.
So you're throwing out the window the property rights of the owner of that establishment, freedom of choice, you know, a lot of things, compared to a health risk, which is really unproven.
Right. Well, when you say a health risk is unproven, not that cigarettes cause cancer, but that you can get cancer from secondhand smoke?
The anti-smoking lobby has been trying to for about 40 years to prove this,
mm-hmm.
and they've not done so. There's not one proven, documented case proven to be caused by so-called secondhand smoke.
Right.
And I've been looking for one for 10 years, and
yeah,
so have a lot of other people.
How can I ask, you know, I agree with you, and I have colleagues who have written extensively on this, but why should we believe you, or who are you
yeah,
to
I know,
kind
exactly.
of go through the medical literature
this
and say,
this is why I don't do these interviews anymore. And the only reason I'm here is because it's Reason magazine, and I hope that some amount of reason comes into it somewhere. But I'm sick and tired of talking about this because
right.
that's what I hear every time.
Yeah.
Why should we believe you? I'm not asking you to believe me.
Right.
I mean, you are of the media.
Right.
Go do the research. You know, instead of talking to me, talk to an anti-smoking representative
right.
of you know, whatever health organization. Ask them to explain how they know that secondhand smoke killed someone and produce the proof.
Is the smoking ban issue dead, though? I mean, we're sitting in a hotel room in New
yeah.
York where in 2003 they banned smoking in bars and restaurants. Earlier this
yeah.
year they banned smoking outdoors, basically.
Yeah.
Is it a dead issue? And if so, you know, what do we do about it? Or is
yeah.
there anything left to do?
Yeah. Well, I don't believe it's a dead issue. A lot of mm-hmm. people would like us to believe that, of course. The same as they
yeah.
would like us to believe that alcohol prohibition was a dead issue mm-hmm. in about 1925,
right.
you know,
yeah.
and that lasted for 13 years.
Yeah.
But the fact is that smoking is still legal everywhere in the world except for the Kingdom of Bhutan,
right.
where the king doesn't like it.
But they're very happy there, right,
or something? Supposedly,
so, yes.
But they have a huge problem with tobacco smuggling.
Right.
There's well over a billion people in the world still smoke, and there are plenty of countries in the world where you can still smoke in bars.
What are the arguments that will convince people to say, hey, you know what, it's not your business what I'm eating, what I'm drinking, whether I exercise or not?
It's going to take more people having their own lifestyles and their own choices mm-hmm. affected. I mean, I think there's a sort of gathering storm of prohibitionism.
Mm-hmm.
You can see it more clearly in the UK, actually, mm-hmm. I think, which is becoming very much a nanny state these days.
Mm-hmm.
But alcohol prohibitionism is really on the rise.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times the same people, they're networking with
right.
the anti-tobacco people to say, how have you been so fantastically successful?
Yeah.
And it's going to get worse and worse. And I think it probably needs to get worse before people start to fight back.
You are not in the employ of a tobacco company?
God, no.
Okay.
Where's the money? You know, I have nothing to do with the tobacco industry. I have no axe to grind.
Moving to music, your Jumping Jive album was punked up swing, R&B standard.
Boys, right on down to the ghetto.
Oh, boys,
gotta take a side elevator.
Can't you hear those head cats call?
Come on, boys, let's have a ball.
It was a major departure from your kind of earlier style of new wave. that you were putting out in the late 70s and 80s. Do you think a popular artist today, would it be as easy for them to convince a record label to allow a major artist to make that kind of shift away from their signature sound?
No, definitely not. But then again, there are not that many major labels left. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what's coming out on major labels is extremely predictable.
You're based in Berlin now, and you at one point you attributed some of your impetus to move to Berlin to, it was really to get out of Mike Bloomberg's New York. I mean, what attracts you about Berlin? Let's put it that way.
It wasn't just Mike Bloomberg's New York, but the UK as well. I mean, mm-hmm. I tried living back in the UK for a while and realized that it was becoming, if anything, even worse than New York. I mean, New York's still sort of okay in quite a lot of ways.
Right.
It's just I have a tremendous nostalgia for how it was 20 or 30 years ago.
So what about Berlin, though? What draws you there?
Berlin, I feel... free, you know. I feel like I'm treated like an adult. Mm-hmm. I can pretty much do whatever I want. Much less crowded, less expensive, and just generally, you know, a good quality of life.
What are you working on now, or what can we promote?
I'm doing Duke Ellington with no horns and completely new arrangements, and making it sound nothing like it did, you know, originally.
What is the appeal of that, of taking, I mean, somebody who is very much in the musical firmament and transforming him into something new?
It's something I've always loved to do, is to, I mean, I've always done this myself with my own songs over the years, completely rearranged them in different ways, because it keeps it fresh, it keeps it interesting. I think an element of surprise is really a nice thing to have. I mean, how many shows do you go to where you get a surprise somewhere along the line? I've always tried to have that element. And Ellington did the same thing. Mm-hmm. You know, for 50 years, he reinvented his own work over and over again. Mm-hmm. So it's, in a way, applying Ellington's methods to Ellington, but, you know, using sounds and rhythms and so on that he didn't live long enough to even think about.
I want to thank you, Joe Jackson, for talking to Reason TV. I'm Nick Gillespie.